Andrew West here on RN and ABC Listen. That story is soon. Now, Russian President Vladimir Putin has conceded that Islamic State terrorists carried out the deadly concert attack near Moscow. It killed at least 140 people. He's still linking the atrocity to Ukraine, though. Russia's role in Syria and Afghanistan, helping to suppress Islamist movements, has made it a target. But Putin's also tried to cultivate good relations with many Islamic countries. Associate Professor Kirill Nozanov is with the Center for Arab and Islamic Studies at the ANU.
Russia is one of the great Satans, according to the worldview of the Islamists, alongside the United States and Europe. And it's quite typical to see references to Russia as a crusader power, hell-bent on destroying everything that is dear to the heart of a pious Muslim. Russia was, of course, a colonial power that subjugated and oppressed a lot of Muslims in Central Asia in the 19th and early 20th century. But some of the grievances are fairly recent. Invasion of Afghanistan in 1979 and Russian operations in Syria in support of Bashar al-Assad are obviously something that the Islamists are holding against Russia.
You mention Afghanistan there and this group calling itself Islamic State. Khorasan, I think it's called, is based partly in Afghanistan. Is there an engagement that Russia has today with Afghanistan that would be angering the Islamic State group?
Absolutely. So we live in a very strange world. If we retrace the genealogy of all sorts of Islamists in Afghanistan, of course, the name Taliban comes to mind immediately. And the Taliban arose out of the Mujahideen, those fighters of the Holy War against the Soviet invaders. The irony of the current situation is that the modern-day Taliban are quite well-disposed towards Russia, and the Russians do business with the Taliban government, especially after they became the de facto rulers of Afghanistan back in 2021. And this is because they have a common enemy, and that common enemy happens to be in the Islamic State, and especially its branch, as you correctly mentioned, it's called the Islamic State Khorasan province. So thus, the Russians and the Taliban basically have a united front against this international jihadi group, because for both of them, jihadis constitute a pretty serious threat.
We know that Vladimir Putin is preoccupied with his war against Ukraine, but Kirill, how much does he still have his eye on groups like the Islamic State, and how much does he use their presence in Central Asia as a justification for what IS considers anti-Islamic oppression?
I think it's not so much the issue of Russian propaganda and Putin weaponizing the illusory challenge presented by the Islamic State. The challenge is very real. If you look at the statistics of terrorist acts in Russia, well, they're consistently high. And I just looked up at the stats for 2023, and there were 410 acts of terror committed on the territory of Russia. Not all of them, of course, were carried out by Islamists, but a fair proportion was. And it's been a consistent theme in the security discussion in Russia, in the public debate, since Putin began his career as the president of Russia, about the danger of Islamic radicalism and Islamic terrorism. For instance, the head of the Russian Internal Security Service, the FSB, General Bortnikov, mentioned an interesting figure late last year. According to him, there were 6,500 members, active members of Islamic State Khorasan province that were up to no good. The theater of operations includes not just Russia, but South Asia and Europe and further afield. But they do have designs on Russia. They do recruit Muslims in Russia and in Central Asia. And obviously, they try to compel those new recruits to carry out acts of terror.
Yeah. Vladimir Putin did engage in a very brutal war to pacify Chechnya. That's the Muslim majority republic inside Russia. But isn't 10 10% of Russia's population Muslim and on track to grow. I thought Putin was quite aware of this demographic trend, and hasn't he tried to calm things within Russia's Muslim population generally? I think he's certainly tried to forge ties with those Central Asian republics, hasn't he?
Absolutely. And I mentioned the invasion of Afghanistan and the war in Syria as chips on the Islamist shoulders when it comes to Russia. But of course, the two wars in Chechnya are a major irritant in the eyes of the Islamists, and they seek revenge on Russia. Actually, Russia is more Muslim than we think. It's not 10%. It's actually something like 20% of the population of the Russian Federation identify as Muslim. It has been a major theme in Putin's domestic discourse that we are all happy-go-lucky and loyal Russian citizens, regardless of our religion and confessional affiliation. And whenever there is an occasion of state, a big reception, a big celebration in the Kremlin, you would notice that to the right hand of Putin, there stands the patriarch, the leader of the Orthodox Church in Russia, but always to the left hand of Putin, there stands the Grand Mufti of Russia. Islam is one of the officially recognized religious creeds in Russia, and Putin pays a lot of attention to managing relations with what can be called user-friendly, state-friendly Islam. Moreover, it is the muftis and the ulama of Russia who act as vital allies of the Russian state in de-radicalizing Islam and in parrying the threat of international jihadi network.
Most controversially, Putin has suggested that these IS terrorists may have some connection to Ukraine. That is certainly a theory that assists Putin in his propaganda war. But there is a small Muslim population in Ukraine. I think they're Tatars from Crimea, and I can imagine they would have an anti-Russian grievance. Is there even the slightest possibility of a completely unauthorized Ukrainian collaboration in this attack?
Well, Andrew, as you say, these are early days, and there's a lot of speculation, and there are some interesting conspiracy theories floating around. Some of the Russian officials do suggest link between the most recent terrorist attack and Ukraine. And it works on two levels. The first one is operational. Why the terrorists try to escape in the direction of Ukraine? So allegedly, the Ukrainian services offered them a safe passage or some kind of corridor. This is quite weak, and I don't know what will transpire if further investigations are carried out. A more interesting tangent is indeed the presence or the cooperation between the Ukrainian special services on the one hand and Islamist organizations and Islamist militants on the other hand. It's not so much about the Crimean Tatars. It's all about the Chechen fighters who escaped the Chechen wars and found a warm welcome in Syria, Iraq, and to some extent Turkey. And then they came back. They came back to Ukraine to fight against Russia. And there is an official formation within the ranks of the Ukrainian armed forces. It's called the Sheikh Mansour Battalion. It comprises Chechens. Most of them did receive military training in Syria. And now they're defending Ukraine. And again, there's no smoking gun at this point in time, but these guys, these Chechen militants are pretty savvy in fighting the war, not just on the battlefield, but also in cyberspace. They operate a ramified ecosystem of Telegram channels and other social media channels, and they do try to incite anti-Russian sentiments amongst Muslims living inside Russia. So that it's a well-established fact. It's a well-known fact. Of course, it's a leap of faith to connect this situation with the terrorist act of 22nd March this year, but some suspicion is certainly there.
Very interesting to speak with you, Associate Professor Kirill Nurzanov. He's Deputy Director at the Center for Arab and Islamic Studies. Kirill, thanks for coming back to the program.
Good talking to you, Andrew.
And the center is based at the Australian National University.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.